For our reflection today, I'm reflecting on the alternative readings, which are, the Gospel is John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41, and it's the man born blind. It's a long passage, a Gospel passage, but the Psalm is Psalm 27, and you might remember that refrain best as, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." There is a phrase, one of the psalm phrases is, "Hear, O Lord, the sound of my call. Have pity on me and answer me. Of you my heart speaks, you my glance seeks. Your presence, O Lord, I seek. Hide not your face from me. You are my helper, cast me not off." And the first reading is from Micah chapter 7, verses 7 to 9. "I will look to the Lord. I will put my trust in God, my Savior. My God will hear me." These alternative readings speak to those who wish to be heard, to be seen, to be recognized. And that can be any of us at any time in our lives. And certainly that's for some people, it's a fair part of their lives. The man who was born blind was born blind from birth. He was blind. He could not see, and he was basically asking for recognition, asking for help, asking for food, for money. He was separated from society. And when Jesus healed him, those were those who did not believe that Jesus should have healed him. Those who basically were saying, well, this man was born blind because either he or his parents sinned. Therefore, God was showing disfavor to them or to him for that sin. That isn't the truth at all. It's just biology. Sometimes things happen. It could be an accident. It could be a biological situation, a disease that's inherent in our DNA, or it's something that comes from an infectious disease. God does not show disfavor to people through physical affliction, through psychological affliction, or through loneliness, isolation, or any such thing. God never shows disfavor in that way. For anyone who has a situation in their life where they or a family member or a friend wishes to be seen, wishes to be heard, wishes to be recognized, we have to ask, are we as church seeing them, listening to them, recognizing them, and including them in community? We could have done better over history. I think we are beginning to do better as we go on more and more over these decades. And there's some where we do have means of recognizing people as church, but they're not well known. Many of us may be familiar with our parish's outreach with the Shepherd's Flock for those with developmental disabilities engaging in sacramental activity and sacramental preparation. And there is a diocesan-wide mass named after the vestments that are worn, white in this case, called the White Mass. That is to recognize and see those who are developmental disabilities or other situations, or the family members as such. I've had friends who've brought their children to that mass, and there's a lovely picture of this family that I know, and a classmate of mine at Georgetown, and his wife and son at this mass, with a picture of them and Cardinal Wuerl, who was the Archbishop then. And it's a great picture that the Catholic Standard put out. It's just, you know, there was joy on everyone's face. They felt seen and heard by the church. That is big. We also have the Rose Mass, which was just held this past weekend, of course, when we were wearing rose, for healthcare workers. And the Red Mass is often overshadowed by the presence of the Supreme Court. But a Red Mass in a diocese, especially in our diocese, the head of the nation, is for civil servants, which does, of course, include those in the field of justice. But it really is meant to be reflective of the desire to recognize and, collaborate with those who are in civil service, whether or not they're Catholic even. Those recognize them and say thank you for helping hold society together to serve all of us as people in this nation, whether or not we're citizens. That really is the purpose of the Red Mass, not just in the criminal justice or civil justice field, but for all civil servants. And of course, there are many masses that we have in our diocese that reflect the ethnic and racial diversity of our diocese and of our church. A couple of the masses that I've been to over this past year include the Juneteenth Mass, which was held on Father's Day last year and will be held again this day next year. It's a mass of recognition for those of our African American community, especially commemoration of the day when July 4th became true for them, for their ancestors, and therefore more true for all of us, with the recognition of the end of slavery in those parts of the Confederacy that had refused to recognize the end of the Civil War, or the word had not gotten out, and the end of slavery as a way of keeping people in subjugation and separating them from their proper place in society. We also have masses for commemoration of Black History Month and Black Catholic History Month, two separate months. Black Catholic History Month is in November. We have masses for Hispanic Americans and for Asian and Pacific Islanders as well. We may even start having some masses for Native American and Indigenous people in our diocese. There are local masses that recognize that, but not in a diocesan-wide yet. It's just a recognition that people are valued by God no matter the circumstances of their life. For those of us who feel separated from the church at times, and that can be many of us who struggle with different situations, every Mass is a Mass where they can be welcomed. Every Mass is a Mass for all of us. Some people get upset when we have Masses for particular segments of society. It really is not a way of saying these are the people who matter and you don't. It's a matter of saying some people who belong to the church, to belong in society, don't feel that they belong. And this is a way of saying, yes, you do belong. Yes, you do matter. In all cases, we should be willing to reach out to people who we may be not necessarily be comfortable with to say, I'm glad that you're here. It's hard sometimes because as Catholics, we're not used to welcoming people. We're used to going into Mass and being quiet and praying or talking with our friends and not necessarily welcoming the stranger. One of the issues that has cropped up in the Synod, both on our local level at the parish, on the diocesan level, and worldwide, is to be more welcoming to people, to be more inclusive of their gifts in the liturgy especially, but also in other ways of service and really just in part of society. We as Catholic Christians have to be better at reaching out towards others, interreligious dialogue and inter-ecclesial dialogue that is within Catholic and Christian churches is key for both of those. Father Gillespie and I participate in a group of Georgetown clergy members, which is ourselves, Epiphany Parish, and several of the Protestant churches in Georgetown, as well as a modern Orthodox synagogue, Kesher Israel. We get together and we talk every couple of weeks. And this Good Friday, the Christian churches are coming together at Holy Trinity for the seven last words of Christ. I welcome you all there for that time, for when we come together interdenominationally as Christians and recognize our commonality under Christ, even though we have different approaches and we belong to different churches, we still share that common baptism. For our Jewish brothers and sisters, of course, Good Friday is not something that they would be part of, and this year Passover is later than our Easter. So when it comes time for Passover, reflect on our relationship with our Jewish brothers and sisters. When you are at our Good Friday service, you will hear special prayers for our Jewish brothers and sisters, and then prayers for those who believe in God in another way, which would include, of course, those who are Muslim, those who are Druze, and those who are the Druze being a particular sect that connects some elements of Islam and Judaism and Christianity, usually found in Lebanon. And that relationship they have with God is different than it is with us and our Jewish brothers and sisters, but they still recognize the one God. They still consider themselves, like our Islamic brothers and sisters, as children of Abraham, as we and our Jewish ancestors in faith are. And we also pray for those who do not believe in God in the same way we do, or those even who do not recognize God, who struggle with that. Think of Good Friday as a way for all of us coming together. We as Christians come together in Christ, but we should pray for all of those, whether or not they believe in Christ, that one day we will all be united together. And that until that day happens, that we recognize everyone, we see them, we listen to them. It does not erase our differences. It does not erase the areas where we have to have dialogue and where we have disagreements. But it shows that we should listen, and following the supposition, the presupposition of Ignatius, as we often think of it, the supposition that their opinions, their thoughts, their approaches have value to them, and we should listen to their approach. We should see where they are and see and recognize where what we have in common, and then dialogue about those parts where we have differences. And for those who have ever felt alienated from the church, you are always, always welcome. Talk to one of us at the parish. Talk to someone who can help you talk to someone at the parish. Be willing to be a listening ear, whether over a cup of coffee or a sandwich or a meal or just getting together and talking.